Wednesday, July 12, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single Wednesday, and we like to present the top stories with a little bit of common sense. I know, seems like that would be obvious. It's actually not all that obvious these days. Of course, we get smothered with sports takes. It's just that half the time, they don't always make that much sense. We like to look at how sports actually work, how coaches and players actually think, and hopefully, somewhere along the way, we can make you smile at least once or twice a week. Now, there are a couple of ways that you can keep up with or contact the Daily Dose. You can go check new articles out and a link to the podcast every single week if you head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. In fact, this week, a new article went up. We were able to talk just a little bit with a member of the Houston Rockets, and we kind of got their plan for the offseason. They've got something very specific that they are working on in the offseason. You might want to head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com and check that out. If you've got a question, maybe you've got a comment, maybe you need some advice. You know, last week we had our annual email show, heard from a number of you. If you need to hit us for any reason, you can do that. You can send us an email at dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can find us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports, DALYDOSE. If you follow us on Twitter or Facebook, you will also get some updates from us and links to articles and the podcast each and every week. Today on the show, we would like to welcome you to the third annual Daily Dose Dosey Awards Show. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Now, you might hear the word third in there and think that this show doesn't have the kind of longevity that I'm accustomed to in an awards show. And I completely understand that. I do. We haven't been around as long as some of those other award shows. We haven't been around as long as, say, the Oscars that have been around for like 80 years. Of course, we also don't have like 70-some years of only nominating white people either. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad is what I'm saying. Now, the Daily Dose Dosey Awards are dedicated to recognizing individual and team athletic achievement and other sports-related performances over the past calendar year. Award winners are selected through a very strenuous process, one that I won't bore you with and go into all the details at this time, but trust me on this, it is extremely strenuous. There's a lot of like algebraic equations, a lot of math involved is what I'm saying. It's a very, very scientific process that we use here at the Daily Dose to find the very best in the sports world. And let's face it, every single year in sports, it is wild, it is unpredictable, and this past year was no different. When you think back just a little bit, you know, it started last summer with the 2016 Olympics in Brazil. You know, the Olympics where you sit on your couch for like 2 weeks straight, covered in Cheetos, yelling at the top athletes on the planet to do better. But it was a memorable Olympic Games. We had green water. We had Ryan Lochte doing God knows what in a public restroom. The Olympics in Brazil were truly an experience. We saw upsets and crazy finishes in college football. Yes, college football. The tradition, the pageantry, the filthy boosters, the dirty recruiting, as we teach our youth that sometimes you have to work for free so that other people can benefit from your labor. And also that if you take any of that money, we will question your character and the way you were raised. We've got Major League Baseball. Of course, Major League Baseball had one of the more memorable seasons in recent history as we saw two teams in unprecedented postseason droughts playing for a world title. And we thought that the world might come to an end when the Chicago Cubs fans actually got to finish a season by watching a parade instead of being out on the ledge of one of those buildings overlooking a parade. It was a little different, wasn't it? It was a little bit different. It was memorable. This past year has been memorable in sports. And when the universe didn't implode, the NFL season rolled around. And we learned that crime does not pay. Well, unless you're really, really good at sports. Or I guess if you're really good at crime. Either way, then it totally does pay. Sure, professional football still gives million-dollar contracts to players that beat up women. But at least they wear pink during October, right? That makes up for some of it, doesn't it? Maybe not. The Super Bowl saw a historic comeback, as well as a collapse for the ages that can best be described as, I'd say, very deflating. I think we saw sometimes crime does pay in the NFL. We saw some major upsets in both the men and women's college hoops in the spring. And you know, all the action wasn't just on the basketball floor. University of Wisconsin forward Nigel Hayes, he showed up at college game day with a sign that said, "Broke college athlete, anything helps." And then he took to Twitter saying how getting a scholarship is honestly only worth about $25,000 per season, while these universities are pulling like $32 million a year in revenue. Seems a little out of balance, doesn't it? Oh, and by the way, Nigel Hayes went undrafted in the NBA draft, but he was signed by the New York Knicks. He's playing some summer league ball with the Knicks on a small, like, two-way contract. It's guaranteed for about $75,000 for the season. And it could have incentives up to about $275,000 for the season. Not bad. You know, he's got that going for him. I actually didn't see any protests on the women's basketball side. Kind of weird. They're dealing with these same situations, aren't they? Of course, it might have been because the women are too busy studying. I mean, let's face it. They're going to need those degrees because WNBA rookie contracts only pay about $35,000. So school probably doesn't seem so bad to them, really. I mean, the MVP of the WNBA isn't even making $1 million. So keep hitting those books, ladies, because you aren't even going to be making Nigel Hayes money playing professional athletics. We saw history made in auto racing this past spring. We did not see any history made in horse racing this past year. But we did see a historically great franchise play a team in the Stanley Cup Finals that, let's be honest, none of us really knew existed. The NBA has a super team, and no one could beat them even twice, let alone four times. And now, everyone in the NBA is scrambling to keep up with the Golden State Warriors. And as historic as the Golden State Warriors were in 2017, there was one more thing that may have been just as important in the sports world. Because do not forget that Cleveland Cavaliers forward Tristan Thompson is dating Khloe Kardashian. And that family curse is more powerful than any super team that has ever been built in the history of sports. We would like to thank you for joining us to take a look back at the past year in sports. Coming back, we will be handing out this year's Daily Dose Dosey Awards for best moments, greatest performances, biggest upsets, and so much more.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
Table Read with Sean McBee and Trevor Thompson.
Do you like podcasts?
Hate them. Hate them to death. Don't want to listen to another one ever again.
Good. Do you like movies?
Hate movies. If I could, I would just listen to music for the rest of my life.
Do you like hating things?
Hate liking things, and I like hating things. I especially like answering questions from people I hate, like you.
Well, do I have the thing for you?
I don't know, but I hope you don't.
I have a hateful podcast starring me and you, where we hate on movies that never got to be made.
Hate, 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 hate. We wrote scripts, and we didn't make it, so we're hating on these ones that didn't make it.
Experience the worst Hollywood has to offer with readings of the scripts you never wanted.
Well, that's because they're hateable.
Hate, 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 hate.
They're terrible.
Table Reads. Every Tuesday, right here on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Or visit TableReadsPodcast.com.
Hate.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case,
and I'm a princess,
and I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com.
Yes, thank you for joining us here for the Daily Dose Dosey Awards. We've done this over the past 3 years. Our first award that we are going to be handing out today is the award for Best Record-Breaking Performance. You know, in sports, records are made to be broken. And whether it is the most rushing yards in football, the most rebounds in basketball, or the most wins in tennis, we are always looking for that great performance by someone who is breaking the next record and pushing sports to the next level. Here are the nominees for Best Record-Breaking Performance. Bill Belichick. You know, Bill Belichick set the record for most Super Bowl wins in NFL history as his New England Patriots beat the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. This is his fifth Super Bowl title. And that puts Belichick ahead of longtime Pittsburgh Steelers coach Chuck Knoll. He may have also set the record for grumpiest man in the universe. Michael Phelps. You know, in the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio, Michael Phelps won 5 more gold medals. That brings his incredible career total to 23 gold medals, the most in Olympic history. Diana Taurasi. The longtime Phoenix Mercury forward scored her 7,494th point last month to become the leading scorer of all time in WNBA history. Is she the greatest player in women's basketball history? You know, I don't know. That's for someone who actually watches women hoops to answer. So I guess we'll probably never know. Okay, so who is our winner for Best Record-Breaking Performance? The envelope says, winner, Tiger Woods. For the worst DUI in the history of the world. You know, over Memorial Day weekend, Tiger Woods was pulled over in Florida after police officers saw his car pulled over on the side of the road. Woods blew a 0.0 on the breathalyzer. Now, I'm not saying Woods wasn't impaired. It seems he was clearly under the influence of a number of different prescription drugs. I'm just imagining the conversation in his drunk tank cell later. Like some guy's telling him, man, I was driving like 108 miles an hour and I had more than triple the legal limit of alcohol in my system. What are you in for? And Tiger's like, well, I was pulled over on the side of the road. I wasn't moving whatsoever. I literally didn't have 1 ounce of alcohol in my system. No offense, but that's like the crappiest driving under the influence in history. Nice job, Tiger. You win Best Record-Breaking Performance. We're going to move on to the fall and college football. Our college football moments of the year. You know, you have to love college football because in college football, every single week matters. And I realize, I understand there are still some major flaws in the system, but you have to admit that you do tune in every single week because there are great college football matchups. And we saw some really, really fun games this past season. Here are the nominees for college football moment of the year. Penn State beats Ohio State 24-21. In Happy Valley. You know, the Nittany Lions scored 17 points in the fourth quarter to come back and beat the favored Buckeyes for the first time since 2001. It was Penn State's first win over a top team since 1999. Penn State won the game after Ohio State led 21-17 with less than 5 minutes to play, and they were lining up for a 45-yard field goal to take a 7-point lead. And then, unfortunately, this happened. This clip comes to us from ESPN.
Field goal team out here because this is a career-long attempt for Tyler Durbin, who's super reliable inside of 40. This is from 45, and it's blocked. Lions scoop it up. Grant Haley will score. Marcus Allen made the block. A veteran safety. Haley scooped it up, and Penn State incredibly has the lead.
Our next nominee for college football moment of the year, Clemson beats Alabama for the national championship. The biggest game, the biggest stage. With 1 second left, the Clemson Tigers trailed the Crimson Tide by 3 points when they bypassed the field goal against one of the top defenses, at least statistically, in college football history. Deshaun Watson hit Hunter Renfro for the game-winning score, and the Clemson Tigers pulled off one of the biggest upsets in college football history.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro Little man makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Our final nominee for college football moment of the year. Ohio State beats Michigan in double overtime. Hey, definitely one of the best games of the season. The Buckeyes trailed by 10 in the second half, but somehow they managed to tie it up late. Of course, the big point of contention was a fourth down and one in the second overtime. Yes, this game went not one overtime, it went two. And Ohio State quarterback JT Barrett picked up a very, very close first down. And then on the next play, Curtis Samuel ran in for the game's winning touchdown. Michigan fans are still angry about that fourth down play, but what a game. So what could be the winner for college football moment of the year? Can I have the envelope, please? Winner. Those are some really, really good nominees, but I think it has to be, let's see, the College Football Playoff Committee, when they bypassed the Big Ten champion Penn State Nittany Lions and instead took the higher-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes, something they said they would not do, only to see the Clemson Tigers paste Ohio State 31-0 in the Fiesta Bowl. That, my friends, is karma. Winner of College Football Moment of the Year, the Ohio State University. All right, moving forward, we got a lot of awards to hand out today. Let's go to the greatest retirement of this past calendar year. You know, it wasn't the same type of retirement class that we had last year. Remember last year, we had Peyton Manning, we had Kobe Bryant, we had Frank Beamer, we had Abby Wambach, we had a number of big names. We did have a few names this year that we might not have expected, though. No one completely believes that all of the guys on this list, at least, are truly done. But here are the nominees for greatest retirement. First up, Tony Romo. You know, after 13 seasons, over 34,000 passing yards and 248 touchdowns, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo, he just couldn't stay healthy. You know, in his final two seasons, he played in just 5 of 32 games. Now, there was talk he may still try to play this next season, but I think he just couldn't go any longer physically. And, you know, to be fair, at least we won't have to watch him collapse in December again. So that's not all bad. Our second nominee has to be Boston Red Sox designated hitter, David Ortiz. After 20 seasons in Major League Baseball, Big Poppy decided to hang it up. He played 14 seasons with the Boston Red Sox, and he was very instrumental in bringing them that first World Series title in 86 years back in 2004. Ortiz finished his career with 541 home runs, 1,768 RBIs, and the Red Sox are actually going to be retiring his jersey. Pretty impressive stuff. It's a little weird. It's a little weird. Because, you know, for a good portion of his career, like I said, he was a designated hitter. He didn't even play every day. You can't just show up when you feel like it and be recognized as doing an all-time great job, can you? This isn't politics. Come on. You got to show up at least every day. Our final nominee, Oklahoma football coach Bob Stoops. I'm still not sure we have the complete story on the former Oklahoma football coach. Did he step down because of health issues? We know that there are some heart problems in his family. Did he step down because he wanted to be sure of who was going to get the job next? Maybe he just wanted to make sure Lincoln Riley was going to get a shot. That was the assistant he wanted to install there. Maybe there's some shady things still coming down the road. I don't know. But Bob Stoops gave it up at least for now. And that creates a great void in the Big 12. Because when you think about it, that means Mike Gundy is the most established head football coach in the Big 12 conference.
That ain't true!
So who is our winner for greatest retirement? Greatest retirement envelope says, all of the LeBron James fans saying that he is in competition with Michael Jordan as the greatest basketball player of all time. Yeah, I guess. I guess that's true. You know, LeBron is now 3-5. In the NBA Finals. And while 8 finals is impressive, 5 losses, not so impressive. You know, going into the 2017 NBA Finals, we were starting to get more and more of the so-called experts telling us how LeBron is right there, neck and neck with Michael. And I'm not talking about the local hacks. I'm not talking about the guys that just work in Cleveland or whatever it might have been. I'm not even talking about like message board fans. I'm talking about legitimate, national, respected sports media guys. First off, they forgot that LeBron had that pesky 2011 finals where the loaded super team Miami Heat lost to the Dallas Mavericks, Dirk and the no-name Nowitzkis. Second, they seem to forget that Larry Bird was 3-2 in the finals. Kobe Bryant was 5-2 in the finals. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was 6-4 in the finals. Tim Duncan was 5-1. Magic was 5-4. And Bill Russell went 11-1. Hey, LeBron James is a phenomenal athlete, but slow down that he's the greatest basketball player of all time. And when you think about it, isn't he a little bit more comparable to Wilt Chamberlain? Wilt Chamberlain went 2-4, and while insanely talented, he was bigger, stronger, and faster than everyone else. He always kind of had the knock of not winning the big one quite enough, didn't he? Oh, I know. I know. It was probably Wilt Chamberlain's supporting cast too, wasn't it? Yeah, greatest retirement? No more LeBron James talk about being in competition with Michael Jordan for the greatest player of all time. Moving forward. We've got a lot to get to. Best championship performance. What could the best championship performance of the past year be? You know, it's one thing to be good. It's another thing to be great. But it is another thing entirely to be great on the biggest stage. So who did it all on the big stage? Here are your nominees for best championship performance. Tom Brady. After trailing 28-3 in the second half, Tom Brady led the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. He threw for 466 yards, led the New England Patriots to a 34-28 overtime win over the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51. Kevin Durant. After signing with the Golden State Warriors in free agency, Durant led his new team past the reigning champion, Cleveland Cavaliers, in the NBA Finals. He averaged 35 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists in the 5-game final series. You know, really, the only true drama of this series was probably in Game 3, when the Cleveland Cavaliers actually led by 2 late, and then Kevin Durant did this. This clip comes to us from ABC.
James pulls back, drives again, kicks it out Korver, corner 3. Can't get it to fall. Rebound Durant.
Incredible opportunity.
Durant for 3. It's good. Kevin Durant from downtown. And Golden State takes the lead.
Deshaun Watson. The Clemson Tigers quarterback proved that no moment is too big for him. He threw for 420 yards and 3 touchdowns as the Clemson Tigers upset Alabama in the national championship title game. So who is our winner for best championship performance? The dosi goes to Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan. Hey, this dude still got hired to be the new coach of the San Francisco 49ers. He got a 6-year contract, despite the fact that in the second half of Super Bowl 51, his offense somehow couldn't maintain a 25-point lead. The Falcons converted 1/3 down in the entire game. The Atlanta Falcons averaged nearly 6 yards per rushing attempt, but they also only ran the ball 18 times. And the Falcons had NFL MVP quarterback Matt Ryan and couldn't score a point in the final quarter or in overtime. They couldn't even get a first down to run out some clock. Somehow, none of this affected Kyle Shanahan in any way whatsoever, and he still got that big contract, and he still has the new job leading an NFL team. No, that's the greatest championship performance by far. I don't even think it's close. Outstanding job, Kyle Shanahan. All right, let's talk a little baseball. Best Major League Baseball player of the year. Hey, it's our national pastime. And when I say our national pastime, I mean it in the way that I would say Philadelphia is our nation's capital. It may have been true like 200 years ago, but it's not really true so much now. Anyway, here's our Major League Baseball player of the year. Our nominees are Max Scherzer. The Washington Nationals may have come up a little short this past year, you know, as they usually do, but you can't really blame Max Scherzer. The right-handed starting pitcher went 20-7 with a 2.96 ERA, and he led all of Major League Baseball with 284 strikeouts. He was the 2016 Esurance MLB This Year in Baseball Award winner for Best Pitcher. Pretty impressive stuff from Scherzer. David Ortiz. Talked about Ortiz just a minute ago. In the final season of his Major League Baseball career, we didn't even know if he was going to play for sure. But Big Poppy came back, and he hit 38 home runs, had 127 RBIs while batting .315. He finished in the top 10 in the American League in home runs and RBIs for the 9th time in his career. You know, Ortiz's strong play in that final season actually did get the Red Sox into the postseason. They were swept by the Cleveland Indians. But a very, very good season from David Ortiz. Our final nominee, Hey, you got to have a Chicago Cub on this list, don't you? Chris Bryant. Bryant might be a third baseman, but do you realize in 2016, he played five different defensive positions? He played first base, left field, right field, center field, shortstop, and then his home at third base. He finished the season with 39 home runs, 102 RBIs, and he even got better in the postseason. He hit 308 in the playoffs and had three home runs. Pretty solid season from Chris Bryant as he led the Chicago Cubs to a World Series title. So our winner for Best Major League Baseball Player of the Year. Oh, I didn't see this one coming. Angels outfielder Mike Trout. And to be honest, I'm enjoying watching him now as much as ever. Really? What's that? What do you mean he's not playing? He hasn't played since late May? He's my favorite player to watch. Granted, I don't watch a whole lot of baseball. Is that the last time I watched baseball? Was May? Okay, but he's the guy I like to watch. He's the most exciting player in baseball. I might not be the most up-to-date person for watching baseball, but Mike Trout is still the winner, at least for me. Again, I told you, this is a mathematical, strenuous process that we go through. Okay, let's move on to something else. Fight of the year. Yes, fight of the year. The sweet science. The ultimate sports. Two combatants enter. Three dirty judges that have been paid by some mafia types sneak out. Here are our nominees for the fight of the year. Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko. You know, this fight took place back in April for the heavyweight championship of the world after knocking Klitschko down in the fifth round. Joshua kind of seemed to punch himself out, found himself on the canvas in the sixth round. Somehow he steadied himself, got his legs under, knocked Klitschko down in the 11th. Finally, the referee stepped in and stopped the fight. And we talked about it at the time. It was the first entertaining heavyweight fight since probably the 90s. Definitely, Joshua Klitschko has to be on the list for fight of the year. Roman Gonzalez versus Sor Rungvisai. This was an epic fight back in March for the super flyweight title. Chocolatito actually lost his first fight. Rungvisai knocked down Gonzalez in the first round with a body shot, but then Gonzalez came back, and watching that fight, I actually thought he did enough to win the fight, but he lost on a majority decision. The rematch is scheduled, I think, for September 9th. Should be worth watching. If you get a chance to see Gonzalez versus Rungvisai, check it out. Very, very good fight in the first one. That should definitely be on our list. Our final nominee for Dosi Fight of the Year, Jessica Andrade versus Angela Hill. Okay. So MMA may not have Ronda Rousey anymore, but the Andrade versus Hill fight was excellent, and it had a ton of action. Hill had the height and reach advantage. Andrade went to the body, landed enough punches to win a unanimous decision. This was back in February. A lot of action in this fight. So here is our Dosi winner for Fight of the Year, the battle for common sense. Okay, you want to see the Mayweather-McGregor fight. It's going to be an event, and yet, you just know in the back of your mind, it's not going to be worth watching. Mayweather's slick, he's polished, he never gets hit. McGregor is fighting the first professional boxing match of his career. Think about that for 1 second. Guys that train their entire life to fight Mayweather can't catch him. Here's a guy that's never fought before in this style, and he's supposed to catch him? Oh, I know. I know. Well, what if Conor rushes him and catches him and lands that one big punch? First of all, that's not how Conor McGregor fights. He's measured. He's patient. He uses those kicks a lot, almost as a jab. He can't do that in this fight. So that doesn't translate all that well here. See, your heart may be telling you, go pay the $125 or whatever it is for pay-per-view. I mean, the cheap seats in the actual arena are currently going for around $3,000 a ticket. Ringside seats are going for around $80,000 a ticket. And the reason is that everyone's heart is telling them that you might be seeing something you've never seen before. But I'm telling you right now, push that aside and listen to your head. We have seen this before. You might not realize it, but we have. Think back. Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs. Lyle Alzado versus Muhammad Ali. Rocky Balboa versus Thunderlips.
How much do you think he eats? About 202 pounds.
Weighing 202 pounds, the reigning heavyweight champion of the world, Rocky
Balboa!
Now, what did all of these hybrid carnivals have in common? They were all a joke. Listen to your head. Be smarter. You can win the fight of the year by fighting the urge to watch this circus and listening to common sense instead. So yes, the winner for fight of the year is the battle for common sense. Can you win the fight of the year, listener? I think you can. I've got smart listeners. I think you can win it. Moving forward, the Dosi for best defender. You know, sometimes the best offense is a good defense. If you can play great defense, sometimes your offense doesn't even have to contribute that much. Here are the nominees for the best defender. Khalil Mack. You know, the third-year defensive end managed to log 73 total tackles for the Oakland Raiders in 2016. Mack also had 11 sacks, forced 5 fumbles, and the Oakland Raiders actually made the playoffs for the first time since 2002. That's pretty impressive. Of course, he did lose in the playoffs to Brock freaking Osweiler in those playoffs when the Raiders faced the Houston Texans. I'm not sure who is inside the winning envelope here, but I would think it's not someone who lost to Brock Osweiler. I'm just guessing. But we'll see. We'll see. We don't know. Our next nominee, Kawhi Leonard. The San Antonio Spurs guard proved that once again, he is the greatest two-way player in the NBA today. Kawhi averaged nearly 26 points per game, but he also averaged nearly 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block every single game. He can play defense in the post. He can play defense on the perimeter. Now, if he could maybe just get some better ankle braces, the Spurs might go just a little bit further. Finally, Von Miller. The Denver Broncos may have taken a step back in 2016. Hey, it wasn't because of Von. He finished the season with 78 tackles, 13 and a half sacks. And a lot of that was when he was being double and triple teamed. Also, not a single sex tape released in the offseason. Outstanding work, Von. You definitely got to be on this list. Our winner for best defender, the Dosi winner goes to, oh, we've got something special here, folks. This might be breaking news. We've got something special. This is a Lifetime Achievement Award. Yes, we have to hand out the very first posthumous award in Daily Dose history. This is a Lifetime Achievement Award for the greatest defender ever, Johnny Cochran. You know, Johnny may have passed away in 2005, but his work as a top defender is still being felt to this very day. Okay, he got Puffy acquitted on a weapon charge. I'm not talking about that. O.J. Simpson turned 2 people into human Pez dispensers, and he walked. In fact, later this month, in July, O.J. is up for a parole hearing for his armed robbery and kidnapping case. That's the good news. The bad news is that without Johnny, he's probably going to be staying in that Nevada jail cell. And that just means more years of nobody out here looking for the real killers. Look, everyone loses, is what I'm trying to say. Johnny Cochran, your Daily Dose Lifetime Achievement Best Defender Dosi Award winner, right there. Hey, we've done some things today. The Dosis are handing out some awards today. All right. You know, it doesn't get the television ratings that football or basketball get, or, you know, like the Real Housewives shows, or the ABC After School Special, but that doesn't mean that the National Hockey League is not highly entertaining. It is. Just go ask one of your Canadian friends, or that one guy at work who has all the Chicago Blackhawks gear. Well, never mind. Don't ask him. He probably doesn't know. He just bought all that stuff because he thought it looked cool. He has no idea. Anyways, our NHL moment of the year. Here are the nominees. The Nashville Predators. You know, the Nashville Predators advanced to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since entering the NHL back in 1998. They defeated the Anaheim Ducks 6-3 in Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. Sure, in the finals they lost to Pittsburgh, but what a wild ride for the fans of a team that literally had never watched a hockey game before. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. You can't ask for much more than that for NHL moment of the year. Nashville Predators making it to the Stanley Cup Final. Our second nominee. You know, it was clear back in October, but you couldn't ask for much more than our next nominee, Austin Matthews. You know, he scored 4 goals in his very first NHL game as the Toronto Maple Leafs lost in overtime to the Ottawa Senators. But the top pick of the 2016 NHL draft became the first player in the modern era. He scored 4 goals in his very first NHL game. Auston Matthews has got to be a nominee for NHL Moment of the Year. Our final nominee for Moment of the Year, the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, they were facing the Ottawa Senators in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final with the score tied. In double overtime, Penguins forward Sidney Crosby found Chris Kunitz on this play that comes to us from NBC.
Geary, that one came off Stahlberg. It's Schultz working it back in deep. Fresh from the bench, it's Crosby. Crosby on Kunitz, it's shot. Penguins win it!
Our Dosey winner for NHL Moment of the Year. Hey, what else could it be? A Nashville Predators redneck smuggled a dead catfish in his pants into Pittsburgh for the first game of the Stanley Cup Finals, and he threw it out onto the ice when the Predators scored a goal. That's got to be the greatest moment. I mean, he smuggled a catfish in his pants. That has to be our NHL Moment of the Year. You know, when asked about the horrible smell that he had to endure, the catfish said that he tried to hold his breath as much as he could.
Take very short breaths.
Our Dosey Award Driver of the Year. You know, should we give the award to the driver? I don't know about this. Should we give it to the car? When you think about it, I mean, not a single jockey is ever going to make the greatest athlete list, are they? But Secretariat did. I don't know if we should be giving this to the driver of the year. Maybe we should be giving these to the cars. Our nominees are 43, 8, 17. You probably wouldn't know what those were. Okay, here are the nominees for the Dosey Award for Driver of the Year. Our first nominee, Lewis Hamilton. He won 10 of the 21 Formula One races that he participated in 2016. And so far in 2017, he's on a similar pace. He has raced in 9 events. He's already won 3 of them, and he's been on the podium 5 different times. Lewis Hamilton is an absolutely amazing race car driver. Takuma Sato, the Japanese driver, ran Formula One from 2002 to 2008, but then he switched over to the American IndyCar circuit in 2010. Back in May, Sato picked up the second win of his IndyCar career, and it was a big one. He won the 2017 Indianapolis 500, becoming the first Japanese driver in Indy history to actually win it. And our third nominee, Martin Truex Jr. You know, Truex has been red hot in the NASCAR series. He started 21 events. He won the Cobalt 400 in Vegas. He won the Go Bowling 400 in Kansas City and the Quaker State 400 in Kentucky. Truex has 13 top 10 finishes so far, and he's battling for the top spot in the NASCAR standings. So who could our Dosey Award for Driver of the Year go to? Winner is... There's some good nominees there. I don't know who's going to get this. Winner of the Dosey for the Driver of the Year goes to former Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Michael Floyd. You know, Michael Floyd was arrested back in December after falling asleep at the wheel of his car in Scottsdale, Arizona. Unlike Tiger, who blew a 0.0 on the breathalyzer, he blew a 2.17 on the breathalyzer. That's his second DUI arrest. Yes. Hey, he's a pretty phenomenal driver, clearly. And you know what he got as punishment for his crime? We talked early in the show about how crime may or may not pay in the NFL. As punishment for his crime, Michael Floyd was released by the Arizona Cardinals, signed by the New England Patriots, and got himself a Super Bowl ring. Outstanding job, Michael Floyd. You are definitely our Driver of the Year. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, our greatest coaching performance. You know, a coach is the ultimate leader. He is the guy who convinces you you can do things you never thought possible. A great coach might order bounties. He might place video cameras around a practice field. You never know. What I'm saying is, here are the guys who have done some amazing things and probably got some other people fired in the process. Greatest coaching performances. Our first nominee, Dabo Swinney. Yes, the real-life version of Barney Fife. Dabo somehow got Clemson University to stop being a punchline. They actually won the big one. Remember when people used to refer to it? If you screwed something up as saying, oh, they're Clemsoning, that has stopped. Clemson beat the Alabama Crimson Tide in the national championship game, and the use of the word Clemsoning stopped immediately. Well, I mean, it didn't stop completely, but it was changed instead to Georgia-ing. So that's a little bit better for Clemson. Clemson didn't used to win anything. Well, they do now, and that is because of Dabo Swinney. Bill Belichick, like I said before, Bill Belichick became the winningest Super Bowl coach in NFL history by winning his fifth Super Bowl back in February. And the good thing is that now, no one can argue whether or not he's the greatest coach in league history. He has the rings. No asterisks whatsoever for Bill Belichick, right? Well, something like that. Finally, our final nominee, Roy Williams. Good old Roy won his third national championship when the North Carolina Tar Heels beat Gonzaga in the title game. Droopy Dog is now ranked 7th all-time in Division I basketball in wins. Pretty impressive for Roy Williams. And you know, he should climb even higher than that unless at some point we get those darn sanctions kicking in, which have been pending for decades for North Carolina. Like, it seems like 5 years ago, they were talking about, you know, North Carolina has all these academic things going on and a lot of impropriety going on in the North Carolina athletic program. Nothing has ever come of any of it. So either they can't find anything and they're still looking, or they found a ton and they're just waiting to drop this huge bomb. Either way, greatest coaching performance. Our dosi goes to, oh, wow. Wow, this is a guy I didn't expect. Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. He was so good, he barely even showed up for games. The Golden State Warriors won 66 games with Kerr like sitting in a hospital bed in traction. He had spinal fluid leaking, and then they plowed through the postseason. They lost just one game, and I think Kerr only coached like 5 games. That, my friend, is impressive stuff. Steve Kerr wins our greatest coaching performance. He barely even showed up. Good job, Steve Kerr. He's definitely a Dosi Award winner. Speaking of college hoops, how about our college basketball moment of the year? There is no better time than March Madness. We talk about it every year, but it always lives up to the hype. I'm told that college basketball plays games before March. I don't know. There's not very many people who have seen any of those games, but March Madness is great. Here is our college basketball moment of the year. Wisconsin versus Florida. The best game of the NCAA tournament this past year was this Sweet 16 thriller, when first, the Wisconsin Badgers hit a game-tying three to send the game into overtime.
Nigel Hayes, and Florida doesn't foul in these situations. They switch everything. Showalter.
And then Florida pulled off this full court play to finish Wisconsin off. This comes to us courtesy of CBS.
The safety position, he just closed.
Chioza.
Oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness!
3-pointer is confirmed. Game over.
Northwestern. Yes, Northwestern makes the tournament for the first time, and then they actually won a tournament game. They beat Purdue in the opening round, and I just think it's nice. I think it's nice for Northwestern. I really do. I think it's nice to see these nerds that are going to go on to become CEOs and presidents. Finally, they get a break, go their way in life. It's nice to see Northwestern have some success in athletics, too. Good stuff. Mississippi State beats UConn. You know, in women's basketball, the Connecticut Huskies were riding a 111-game winning streak when they faced Mississippi State in the Final Four. The Bulldogs jumped out on top early, but this is UConn we're talking about. They're not going to lose, right? Well, wrong, because then this happened. This comes to us from ESPN.
Dillingham across midcourt. Dillingham with it. 5 to get off a shot. William on the drive. Pull up, pull up. She got it. One of the great upsets in history.
The winner For college basketball, moment of the year, our winner is going to the NCAA.
What?
Okay, so if you don't know the story, Louisville coach Rick Pitino was suspended for 5 games, and Louisville could lose their 2013 title because of an alleged scandal. See, it seems that 3 former recruits told the NCAA on their recruiting trip to Louisville there were strippers at an on-campus dorm party and that those strippers had sex with them. Now, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on television, so forgive me for not knowing all the rules and ramifications and laws and such, but it seems to me that strippers that have sex with you are not so much strippers, but more hookers, right? It's not that they are strippers that get paid extra to have sex with you. It seems to me they are hookers that dance first before they actually do their real job, right? So now, the NCAA is going to suspend Pitino for 5 games and ask everyone to pretend Louisville didn't really win the title a few years ago. Hey, guys, I know what you guys saw. We're going to just ask everyone pretend. You never saw it. None of this ever happened, okay? We're all pretending. Everybody, look me in the eyes. We're all pretending? We're all on the same page? Okay. Everyone pretend. Start now. Nothing like being asked to play make-believe by the leaders of our younger generation. Good job, NCAA. You definitely win our college basketball moment of the year. Hey, coming up, we still have the comeback of the year and the prestigious Docey Award for the greatest closer in all of sports. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose and do any shopping that you may need to do right over there at Loot Crate. You know, Loot Crate delivers the best in merchandising and collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. You can go get a crate, a subscription to crates, or even individual items. The July crate is called Animation, and it features items from Rick and Morty, Bob's Burgers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Futurama. They have any kind of merchandise you can think of over at Loot Crate, and this is the licensed memorabilia, not some knockoff junk that you wouldn't want anyways. And you can always go back and order a past crate if you saw something and you just missed it. The best part about ordering, when you place your order, put Daily Dose, D-A-L-Y, D-O-S-E in the coupon box, we will get you 10% off. Now, before we get to our final two categories, if you would like to recommend the podcast, we would appreciate that so much. Please let your friends, your family, your coworkers know. They can subscribe to the podcast wherever fine podcasts are hosted. Go over to iTunes. They've got it there. Go over to blogtalkradio.com. They have every single episode we've ever done. And let's say you want to share the podcast, but you don't want to have a conversation with someone. Just click the share button wherever you listen. You can send your friend or whoever it might be a link to the show. And sometimes that's easier than actually having a conversation with them. And if they're technically challenged, you make that easier for them too. Also, make sure that you stop by our podcast network, rogueintel.com. Of course, the Daily Dose is a proud member of the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. They've got a number of other podcasts over there that I think you're going to like. I think you're going to get addicted to. So go check out the new shows that are up over at rogueintel.com. Okay, we have got to finish out our Daily Dose Dosey Awards. First up, we have got the best closer. Who can finish when the game is on the line? Who can just end it? Hey, you might have thought this game was hanging in the balance. I'm going to take control. Who can step up in the face of failure? Who closed it out in sports over this past year and got it done when they had to? Here are your nominees. Tom Brady. Yeah, of course, Tom Brady won his 5th Super Bowl. He led the greatest comeback in the history of the game. Brady threw for almost 500 yards. The Patriots came back from 25 points down. Of course, did come against the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm not even sure if it really counts in the official record books because it was against the Atlanta Falcons, but still, Tom Brady, hey, he's a closer. There's no question about that. Another guy, been very popular this year in the Doseys, Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson came through with 21 points in the fourth quarter to help Clemson win their first national championship since clear back in 1981. Watson threw the winning touchdown, no time left on the clock, and beat Alabama. He's definitely up there for greatest closer. And finally, Kevin Durant. Could the Golden State Warriors have beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers without Kevin Durant? Maybe. But with Durant on the floor, the Cavs were no match for them. Durant averaged 35 points per game in the finals, And he dropped daggers on the Cavs in game one, game three, and in game five, his 39 points, just too much for the Cavaliers to overcome. Our winner for greatest closer this past year, the Dosey goes to... Oh, man. The Dosey goes to... Well, I'm... to be fair, he had 53 knockouts, and I don't know if he's ever been in a fight in his life. Bill Cosby wins the Dosey for best closer. Hey, I'm sorry. Like I said, it's a strenuous process that we go through. This is mathematical, people. This is science. I don't get in the way. I just tell you. I just report the winners. The rest of it's out of my hands. The rest of it's out of my hand. Okay. Our final Dosey of the year, the 2017 Daily Dose Dosey Awards. Our final Dosey is going to go to comeback of the year. When you think back in sports, what is the greatest comeback you have seen over the past year? What do you do when the chips are down? Do you quit? Do you just go away? Or do you find some way to use some dumb sports cliches and motivate yourself to bigger and better things? Here are the nominees for comeback of the year. Jordy Nelson, after blowing out his ACL in the preseason back in 2015, Jordy Nelson missed that entire year. He came back in 2016, caught 97 passes for over 1,000 yards for the Green Bay Packers, and they went clear to the NFC Conference Championship. Definitely, Jordy Nelson has to be considered for comeback of the year. Candace Parker, the Los Angeles Sparks power forward, had to overcome the loss of her former coach and mentor, Pat Summitt, back in 2015. She's still playing at an excellent level. Parker is averaging nearly 16 points. She led the Sparks to a championship back in 2016 and was named Finals MVP. And right now, she still has the Sparks in second place in the WNBA Western Conference. She can still get you 16-7, 16-8 every single night. Candace Parker had to come back from a difficult situation, but she's right there for comeback of the year. Roger Federer. You know, Roger Federer had to bounce back from a torn meniscus in 2016. And he probably tried to come back a little too early. He wasn't quite ready. And you saw him struggling a little bit over the past year. But since he took some time off to heal, the 35-year-old Federer is back and he's playing some excellent tennis again. In January, Roger Federer became the oldest player to compete in a Grand Slam final since Ken Rosewall back in 1974. He won the Australian Open and then he won his 25th Masters title at Indian Wells in March. He's not playing on clay anymore. He's just trying to preserve his body. But Roger Federer has come back to be playing like a finely tuned machine right now in 2017, playing very, very good tennis. The winner for our comeback of the year goes to Aaron Rodgers post Olivia Munn. Remember earlier in the 2016 NFL season, people were starting to doubt Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he's slipping. He's only completing 60% of his passes. That's down because he usually completes about 65% of his passes. Packers receivers' yards after catch was down, and everyone was saying it was because Rodgers' ball placement was a little less precise than it usually is. Guys weren't getting hit in stride. Ball placement was a little off. Sometimes they weren't getting the ball at all. There was also some overwhelming evidence that Rodgers wasn't seeing the field as clearly as he usually does. The Packers started off 4-6. And then they rolled off 8 straight wins and went all the way to the NFC Championship game. What was it that changed? Well, it kind of sounds like things with actress Olivia Munn kind of hit the skids. I mean, they split up officially in March, but I have to think, moving past a celebrity actress, that had to be good for Rodgers. And he bounced back, and he finished the season with 40 touchdowns and just 7 interceptions. Aaron Rodgers began working out more. He got more focused, and he bounced back in a big way. And that is why he is our Dosey Award winner for comeback of the year. Meanwhile, and this is just a rumor. You know, the Daily Dose doesn't really get involved in too many rumors, but the rumor is actually out there that Olivia Munn is possibly seeing Brock Osweiler.
What?
She says she's tired of dating professional athletes, so this might be a good match. Hey, next week on the show, Major League Baseball is right about at the halfway point. And it is right about at this point honestly, that we have no choice but to pay some attention to what is going on in Major League Baseball. We'll take a look around the league and see which teams and which players might be playing a little better than we thought and which ones are doing a little worse than we might have expected. We will also be looking at the winners and losers in NBA free agency, plus the NFL season is coming. What quarterback controversies can we expect in the 2017 NFL season? And there may be even a few controversies out there that we don't see coming. All of that, plus the Daily Dose Top 5 will be returning next week. Hey, feel free to contact us with what may be on your mind. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose 3rd Annual Dosey Awards. We truly appreciate every single one of you that turn in each week. I love you guys. You make the world a better place. Congratulations to each one of our winners. You truly, truly deserve it. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.